Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is a very special live episode of Podcast Beyond, where we are reacting right after the PlayStation showcase that we just saw, the first proper PlayStation showcase since late last year. This was intended to give us a look ahead at what's to come for the PS5 and the PS4 a little bit, and we have a lot to dig into. So without further ado, let me introduce the rest of my cast. I'm joined this week by Brian Altana.
Snicked, snick, bub.
Oh, God. We're already there. Lucy O'Brien is also with us on this week's episode. Thank you, Lucy, for being
here. Is the noise snicked?
It is snicked, yes.
I think so.
Yeah, of course, we're referring to Alan Wake here, but we'll get to that in a bit. And we're also joined this week by Matt Kim. I almost just called you Alan Wake. Hello, Matt. Good to see you. Classic Alan Wake. There was an Alan Wake trailer in the show, but we do actually have a lot to jump into. I do want to get sort of like brief overview thoughts and then want to jump into some of the specifics. So Brian, I'll start with you. Just like very top line, very quickly, what did you think of the showcase overall?
It took a little while to get going, but then I think they really hit the pedal to the metal for the last 20 minutes, not including the card game, which I wasn't interested in, but all of the games that they were announcing towards the end, Spider-Man 2, Wolverine, more God of War, just lots and lots of really great stuff. That's what I'm looking for, and they delivered there. So, yeah.
Yeah, Lucy, what about you? How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't help that there was a lot of, like, hype. There were a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to be the biggest show for Sony, blah, 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 blah. So I think for me personally, my hype levels were very high. And so because it started off kind of slowly, I was like, when is this going to start? You know, when is this show going to start in earnest? But then I'm looking through our notes for what was actually sort of shown off. And ultimately, I think it was a really strong show. I mean, like, yes, it did take a while to get to the heavy hitters, but like there was some fantastic stuff sprinkled through there. Forspoken, Alan Wake Remastered, Ghostwire Tokyo. I mean, there were a lot of good things among the big talking points as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely safe to say in the beginning, I felt a lot like the, you know, not gonna lie, almost had me in the first half sort of meme was where we were kind of at for the beginning, but it really got going. Matt, before we jump into specifics, just want to get your overall thoughts as well. Yeah, it finished super strong, and to sort of wrap it all together, the ending of the show was sort of a PlayStation Studios first-party update. We finally got first looks at gameplay for God of War. Surprise, it's called God of War Ragnarok, and a few other things, but I want to start with the Insomniac of it all, because we got two confirmed Insomniac games here, and I just kind of want to set the groundwork right now. Insomniac, since being acquired by PlayStation for the PS5, has done Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Spider-Man Miles Morales, and a PS5 update for Spider-Man Remastered. And now we're getting two games from them. You know, we're getting Wolverine and Spider-Man 2. I think, you know, to go back to Brian, your opening, let's start with Wolverine. I think we can all attest I was a giddy little child when that trailer came up. What was your sort of reaction to it?
I mean, it's fantastic. I think you just nailed it too. Like, Insomniac is not single-handedly holding up the PS5 right now, but they are doing a lot of heavy lifting. This is awesome. We haven't had like a dedicated Wolverine game in quite some time. We were talking before the show about the tie-in game that came with the Wolverine movie that most people didn't like, but the game itself was really cool. This feels like aesthetically exactly what I want from a Wolverine game. It's obviously a little bit bloodier than the last few Insomniac games. You saw the claws pop out. We've already been sort of digging through a lot of specific little details here. The cash register has 1974 on it. It took me a minute to realize that's when the character was created. There's a license plate that says Hulk, or HLK. So I have a feeling we're going to be pouring through this little teaser for a while. It does feel like this is a ways off, which is fine. Take your time. I'm really happy it's happening. I'm hoping it's an open world-ish game. This allows them to get into a lot of the grittier, darker corners of the MCU or the Marvel, you know, Marvel licenses and properties that Spider-Man doesn't necessarily touch on as being a slightly campier thing. So I'm tremendously excited for this. This is one of those perfect pairings when we heard a couple years ago about Marvel kind of opening up the vaults and companies being able to make games. You know, I think we were all sort of like, yeah, but when are we going to get like an X-Men game or a Wolverine game? Like I have an X-Men game running on my arcade cabinet right now. I'm so excited for this. So yeah, I don't want to hog all the air, but this is the biggest announcement of the show by far.
Oh no, I can talk about this the whole show. Yeah, X-Men is like my foundation for comic books and superheroes. Like it is what got me into Marvel and comic books in general. It is the thing I most associate to, you know, out of that universe or any of those. And the fact that Insomniac is doing it after they proved what they could do with Spider-Man is just, it's perfect. It makes me so happy. Like it is hard for me to contain composure because I just like, oh yes, of course, keep giving them Marvel games because they've proven they can knock it out of the park on every level. This is really exciting. I'm with you. I hope it is a little bit more darker, a little bit more grittier than Spider-Man lets us explore some of those corners of the universe. Lucy, what did you think about this announcement? Also just, you know, in conjunction with what Insomniac is putting out these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Dorno. Like X-Men were my comics as well when I was growing up. And I'm very, very intrigued to see what they do with his character. I mean, we've really only had a sort of singular, I mean, outside of the cartoons back in the day, we've only really had Hugh Jackman's Logan, you know, to represent the Wolverine character outside of the comics for so long. And mm-hmm. So this is going to be a really interesting sort of case study. I think that they did, Insomniac did such a wonderful job with Peter Parker, with Spider-Man. And I'm very curious where they're going to take this character. I mean, obviously it will be a darker game. It has to be because Logan is a darker character. You know, it's got to be separate from the Hugh Jackman character and stand alone as Peter Parker did from, you know, any number of the cinematic Spideys. So as much as I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing with gameplay, I'm really excited to see how they're going to actually bring this character to life and who's going to perform him.
Yeah, right. I'm very curious about that. You're totally right. Like he's such a storied character, but in sort of like the modern consciousness, it is hard not to think of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Well, you have that sort of uncanny valley happening with the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, which we just saw earlier too. So I hadn't even thought of that, Lucy. You're right.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see that. And Matt, I want to get your reaction to it, but also just in general, like, do you think this is, I think they're going to, you know, somehow tie these things together. I don't mm-hmm. think it's going to be separate, but do you assume we're kind of getting an Insomniac Marvel universe now?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the doors are wide open, right? Like you give them Spider-Man, you give them Wolverine. You know, who's next is obviously a real question now, because there could be a possibility. My biggest question though is honestly like what's the style going to be like? Is it going to be like an open world sandboxy Wolverine game, or is it going to be a little more linear, a little more story driven, you know, or, you know, single player esque, right? So I'm really mm-hmm. curious about that move.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, you know, they do have their open world for Spider-Man, but it's kind of weird to think, oh yeah, we'll have an open world as Wolverine, and is he just running around the streets of Manhattan, mm-hmm. kind of like huffing it through? Like, that's not what you want out of a Wolverine, at least not
me personally. He's a big leaper. He can leap.
He can leap, yes. Not as much as Hulk, but he can leap.
he's got a sick motorcycle, too. So he's
very true.
There is motorcycle tech in the PlayStation Studios family with Days Gone, so maybe they can marry that. With Wolverine, we can see what happens.
We all know that's how video games get made. You just borrow a motorcycle from another game.
You copy and paste it and can
We're
go
just assuming
over,
yeah. that it takes place in New York and Spider-Man's going to be swinging in the back of the game the whole time.
I mean, for me, it's, I think you or someone else was pointing out the Goodman Street. Someone on the staff has pointed out that that's a reference to a former Marvel EIC possibly, but like Greenwich Street is mentioned there. So like, mm-hmm. I assume at least some of this is set in New York.
Right.
I don't know the specific diner he may be sitting at. Brian, maybe perhaps you know better than me.
That's the diner from Seinfeld.
Gotcha.
It's the same. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I do think it's a send up for that, honestly.
In Greenwich Village. But no, of course, we're seeing a little bit of gameplay from the Spider-Man trailer as well, which is worth pointing to, because as you were saying, we don't have a release date for Wolverine. We don't really have too full of a scope of where it is in production. But Marvel's Spider-Man 2, I'm calling it for now until we get another title, is coming in 2023. We got that release date. Brian, I do want to throw to you first. What did you feel about getting, you know, a couple years from now release date for this?
I guess it's refreshing because everything's been 2022 for all of 2021. So it's cool they're shaking it up, throwing 2023 out there. I hadn't actually thought of that year yet. I know naturally it's coming, but that's not really, I've been so focused on like, how do we get, you know, there's so many big games this year, so many games Q1 next year. Personally, I'm really happy that they're doing Venom. I remember we'd theorized about this for a very long time. I think everybody, this is a natural progression for these games, right? But it's also just awesome to see these two Spider-Mans or Spider-Men team up, you know? Hopefully that's something that we're going to see in movie form soon, but also in 2023, hopefully we'll get the switch between those characters on the fly. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, according to the PlayStation blog, it is Marvel Spider-Man 2. So yeah, it feels like a good marriage of what's come so far. Lucy, I know we've talked a bit about it. We interviewed the director of Miles Morales last year, and obviously we've been talking about Spider-Man since the initial release. Well, where was your excitement level for it after seeing this trailer and kind of knowing we've got Miles, we've got Peter, and we seem to be getting a bit of a darker tale from them as well?
I mean, yeah, we didn't see much story aside from little flashes, you know, Venom, etc. One thing that I'm kind of interested in is if you can switch between the two characters, does that mean that there's a potential for like a sort of two-player experience? Because that would be extremely cool if you could, you know, have one person play Miles and one person play Peter, and they've got different skill sets. That could be really exciting. But again, you know, this to me is more like, okay, I'm really interested in a deep dive on the gameplay that we saw. I haven't had a chance to really watch it again since we just saw it, but I think there's a lot to sort of crunch into here. Our team is currently pulling together a trailer breakdown, so look out for that. But yeah, you know, look, I love both Spider-Men's, and I'm extremely, extremely stoked for this one and that particular team up. I want to see more of the dynamic between Miles and Peter. Like, I love their relationship. I want to see more of it.
Yeah, Miles, obviously, without spoilers, really came into his own at the end of his story. And so I'm excited to see the two of them kind of both sure-headed spiders man being able to take on enemies together. I do want to just point out the PlayStation blog post for Spider-Man confirms that the original Candyman himself, Tony Todd, is voicing Venom.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
And Matt, he's got a voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we heard a little bit in the trailer. That was great.
Yeah, we got a little bit of his voice in the trailer. Matt, I do want to get your thoughts on it. We were talking a little bit, you know, as the show was going on. The teaser, it felt like obviously there's Venom in there. We see Venom's face. It felt like there might be points to Kraven the Hunter as well, maybe in there. Maybe that's just us reading into things. It's hard to say. But where were you sort of like at the end of that trailer? Your expectations for a new Spider-Man adventure, like where does it set you off on that level?
Oh yeah, I mean, like I was saying when we were talking about the show, like I'm pretty confident that we heard two different villain voices in that trailer, and I think the first one is Kraven, but that we'll leave that for the trailer breakdown that Lucy's team's putting together. I'm excited. I know kind of already what to expect since Insomniac has already made two very good Spider-Man games, so I'm gonna be honest, like I was not surprised only because I knew a Spider-Man 2 was always in the cards, and I kind of always expected this team up, and I kind of always, like, we knew Venom was going to be in it. So actually, it's just nice seeing it, but we already kind of got the pieces together for this one, you know?
And as Lucy said, we knew there were going to be big things in this show, and we did get a big thing here. But yeah, it's very cool to see that all confirmed. 2023 makes sense. I don't know how all of you feel. I was really going through this before the show of like, I feel like we might see Spider-Man, but it just didn't seem like it would make sense for next year, because putting out Horizon, God of War, and Spider-Man in a single year just kind of feels like a little like overkill. Like spreading things out seems like a good idea, but yeah,
especially for a console that you still cannot buy, and that there were no announcements on that being any easier, and that we know from chip shortages, which still does sound like the name of a 70s baseball player, that we might not be able to buy this console, or the average consumer might not be able to get it for a while. So 2023 is maybe the same day you'll be able to finally walk into Target and get a PS5. Who knows?
It's definitely a good time for people. And I will say, we're going to have to go to a break in a little bit. So I want to save full sort of God of War thoughts, because I think that's the next thing to jump into after this, of course. But, you know, I have been so impressed by what Insomniac's done since they officially joined the PlayStation family. I believe it was 2019. I think it happened like right around Gamescom that year. And just them continuing to, you know, knock it out of the park like this. I love that they've got this corner of a Marvel universe. Maybe Lucy, just to wrap up with you. You know, we've seen a few more PlayStation acquisitions recently. I feel like, you know, Insomniac has more than proved their mettle. Do you hope we continue to see other things from them? Or are you, like, where do you sit in terms of them being like a Marvel house versus the other ingenuity we see from them?
That's interesting, because like honestly, I was just thinking about that. I mean, because there was a moment where someone said, you know, when we were talking among ourselves during the show, and someone was like, Infamous, you know, and it's sort of like, it would be nice. I mean, I know Infamous is sucker punch, but it would be nice to see more of that kind of original style IP come back. I do love that we have these properties now, but it would be great to sort of see Insomniac in particular be able to flex a little bit outside of the Marvel properties. But we'll see. I mean, you know, they're making Sony a lot of money right now, and and maybe there's a proviso that, okay, after this one, you know, after Spidey, you can go out and make something completely original.
The one for me, one for you sort of methodology.
Exactly. But,
yeah, I'm really hoping we get to see them do stuff whenever PSVR 2 becomes a thing, because they've done VR work before. And I'm hoping that we can get to see a little bit from them. But quickly, before we go to break, Brian or Matt, just any sort of last thoughts on the Insomniac sort of, you know, big centerpiece moment from today's show?
I mean, I'm a little split, because I love what Lucy's saying about like getting kind of those games that aren't based on billion-dollar reputable, you know, recognizable IPs. But on the flip side, she's right. They make them so much money, and it's like, why? They're not going to reach for the off-brand cereal bags at the bottom when they can get the big stuff on the shelf. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad they're sticking with what works. Spider-Man's awesome. Wolverine's going to be great. And I'd love to see more strange stuff from them in the future. But until then, I'm happy with Marvel games being good again.
Doctor Strange?
I was going to say.
Some Doctor Strange stuff?
Lightning round before break. What Marvel character should they take next if they continue to go down this Marvel train?
Oh, you guys go first.
No. Oh, don't do that. It's all right.
Okay, fine. Gambit.
I love Gambit. Gambit is great. I'm going to say, I believe he was an X-Men called Maggot, where he just had two weird maggots on his arms, and that was all he did. He was a weird dude, but I remember him from the X-Men encyclopedia.
You've tanked the company.
Okay, anyway, if you've tanked it, then I'm going to say Toad, because it's like, oh, anyway.
Anyway, we've got to go to a break, but we'll be right back with plenty more to talk about, including God of War Ragnarok. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hello. And welcome back to Podcast Beyond. I'm your host, Jonathan Dornbush, joined by Brian, Lucy, and Matt to talk about everything going on in this very packed PlayStation showcase. We just got done talking a little bit about the Insomniac of it all with Wolverine and Spider-Man 2. Now I want to shift focus to, I think, the other major, major first-party reveal, which was, of course, finally, not just the name reveal, which I think it's fair to say none of us saw coming whatsoever, but also some gameplay for the newly announced God of War Ragnarok. I'll just give you all a minute to deal with the title. I know it's a lot. How are you all feeling? Good? Okay.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Obviously, God of War Ragnarok was a teased sort of title for this game for quite some time, leaked in a Sony document, then not really officially announced, etc., etc. But Ragnarok obviously has very strong ties in Norse mythology and to the Thor film franchise. But I want to talk really about, you know, we're getting a really big chunk of gameplay in here. Let's start with just like overall thoughts on it. Brian, what did this sort of, you know, deep dive look do for you, and what were you most excited about seeing?
I think that obviously the sort of new car smell has worn off a little bit for this. It's not exactly like the, you know, the big momentous giant moment of finding out that they're making a brand new God of War again. It's more of a thing we loved, which obviously, you know, that you take that down a step, still amazing, amazing news. The last game left with some really interesting kind of doors open, which I guess they dive into right here. And also one of the most powerful and sort of like personal stories that we've seen in like a big AAA action game in a very, very long time. And there's a lot to explore there. And, you know, this was a sort of like a, hey, all your friends are back kind of thing, right? There's a lot of characters in this game or in this trailer that we saw from the first game. There's some new mechanics that we're seeing, obviously, but there's also like some new enemies, some new characters. I think this is going to be just one of those sort of quintessential bigger, better, bolder sort of sequels. And I think for a lot of people, that's exactly what they want.
Yeah, we get more of the gameplay, you know, combat wise, some exploration. I really loved, if you're watching the video version, the sort of showcase of this civilization area, like an actual village sort of locale, because I love the world of the first game, but it is a very desolate world. It is sort of a lot of dilapidated structures, and the sense of life in the area is not quite the same. This feels like there's a bit of a civilization going on here. There's more to it, and it sort of expands the cast for them.
Yeah, there'll be hubs, right? I think yeah. It's what we're getting from all those, which is cool.
Totally. And yeah, we continue to see, you know, Kratos and Atreus fighting together. I think fair to say, full spoilers for the end of God of War. If you have not finished God of War, this trailer reveals the biggest thing, like, you know, twists from the end of God of War. So I guess, you know, don't watch the video if you don't want to know. But Lucy, what was your sort of overall take on what we saw before we jump into some specifics?
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with Brian in so far as it is the first time we saw it, it was such a departure. It was such a departure from what we knew God of War, you know, was. And this is more sort of, it's not more of the same, but it's very much in the same universe and the same characters, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that I love so much about, you know, that God of War that looks to continue in this one is relationship dynamics and characters and that sort of thing. And I love that Mimir is returning. I love that, you know, we've the storyline is very much a continuation. So that sort of revenge plot line is still there. You know, Freya is still really angry. I'm just looking forward to kind of seeing more of those characters and that story. For me, that's where my excitement lies. I mean, again, it's kind of one of those things where I need to watch it one more time just to take a look at all the sort of new kind of gameplay that we saw. But I definitely didn't need a big departure from the formula that was already established.
For sure. Yeah, I think there's so much they got right with that first one, and it's just sort of about wanting fine tuning and finessing and extrapolation of what they did there. Matt, obviously, Brian, Lucy, and I were on Podcast Beyond at the time God of War was coming out. You were not at IGN at that point, so I don't know like your full history with this God of War or anything, but I guess where were your excitement levels before this, and what did you feel about the trailer?
Yeah, I mean, I am one of those people who came along to God of War with this incarnation. You know, the original PlayStation games didn't really do it for me. And then I saw this, and then it was really narrative driven, and they really just ran with the series and just took over. And that's where I came along. And so I'm really excited. I feel like I've had the opposite reaction to Spider-Man, where in Spider-Man 2, I was like, yeah, I 100% expected Spider-Man 2, and I kind of 100% expected what we were going to see. But God of War 2 just is, they look like they're taking new directions, you know, with the civilization stuff, right? And I just get excited when Kratos punches things. When he was punching that centaur in the gut, like that's amazing. I love it.
The looks at the combat, and yeah, I'm just going to say it, the fact that they're highlighting he still has the Blades of Chaos, he still has the Leviathan Axe, he's using those in tandem. But yeah, there's a lot of like gruesome monsters and things that he's fighting in this trailer. Brian, as a fan of the creature work of the Star Wars universe, I just wanted your sort of overall impression on like the enemy variety that we've seen and sort of the combat aspects of what we got here. Because, you know, the first game, you're fighting a lot of Draugr.
You are, yeah. I mean, there's you know, some sort of big sort of giant troll characters you fight early on, and then you fight them kind of repeatedly throughout the game. But the game did get interesting in terms of creature design and sort of monster aesthetics, which is a big thing I love in video games. And it seems like it's continuing that here. That's what I love. Like, I think that one of the things that was sort of missing from the old games was that sense of scale to the point of, you know, climbing up a giant god's hands or something like that and, you know, stabbing it in the eye. That thing that Shadow of the Colossus did so well. And so I hope they get that a little bit here. Obviously, you had moments of that in the last game, but there's a great opportunity to ramp that up more and more here. But also, like, the combat was just phenomenal in the last game, and it scaled really well to people who really wanted to get into it. You know, there were the sort of Valkyrie fights that you could go in and play like you were playing a FromSoft games and just really go high level, or you could just kind of stick to the main path and just fight through grunts and some bosses. So I think there's going to be a lot of variety here when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and for those out there, know that there's no shame if you also down the defile creep. It's really difficult. Lucy, I want to talk a little bit about also the sort of environmental scope we get in this trailer. Obviously, you know, with Ragnarok, it's the idea of winter is coming and all of that. There was sort of a bit of a varied nature to things in the first game because you went to different realms, but it's hard to tell here, like, are we going to be realm swapping? Are we not? But what was your sort of impression of, I think, like, the locals in the sea from this trailer? And, you know, we see a lot of wintry areas, some are like civilization based by like the riverside and everything. Do you want something that goes pretty varied, or like how centralized do you think it may be to one or two realms if you had to guess based on what we've seen? Off the cuff.
I mean, I'm going to kind of steer that in a little bit of a different direction, in that I'm pleased that it looks like they're keeping this sort of open linear nature of the original. I'm just going to say original because it was a reboot. You know, so you felt like there was lots to explore, and there was, but it wasn't open world, and, you know, every single part of it felt very purposeful in that way. You know, FromSoft games do that as well. They sort of, it feels like there's loads to explore and lots of cool secret areas, and there are, but you're still sort of on a more or less linear path. And that to me is kind of these days my favorite type of game. You know, I like areas that are sort of like, okay, you can go here and you can go there and you can go over there, but there's a path that you're obviously meant to go on. And I think that the variety of the environments we saw here look great. I'm just really stoked that it looks to be, again, I know I'm a broken record, but it looks to be a continuation of what we're used to.
Totally. Lucy, that genre should get a title.
I'm sure like every single developer who makes a game like this has their own version of that title. But I'm going to say open world linear.
Open-ish.
Open linear.
I have kids and only 8 hours of day to play games.
Right. every genre eventually gets its weird portmanteau, and we'll probably get there at some point. Unfortunately, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're actually going to have to wrap up the show in a minute. I know this is a bit of a surprise to the cast, but don't want to risk an issue and have the show crash out halfway through. So just very quickly, because obviously there was a lot more in the show, and we'll dig into things in the next episode of Podcast Beyond. But, you know, of everything else shown off, just to maybe quickly pull a few things that you enjoyed. Brian, what else was there in the show that you really enjoy, just to wrap off quickly?
I mean, for me, it was the Marvel stuff and God of War, the big ones. I mean, those are the sort of like the big three for me. There's obviously going to be more down the line. But Star Wars is a really nice surprise too. And that's a PlayStation exclusive. And we didn't really get to get into that one, but I think that's going to be a really, really big game. The game's hard to revisit. So I'm excited to try the remake.
Yeah, KOTOR, since we didn't mention, KOTOR is coming console exclusive to PS5 at launch, plus PC. Very exciting to see that remake announced. Lucy, what about you?
Sorry, it's KOTOR. I know that Brian just said it, but like, if I'm being honest, I haven't played that game for many, many years, and I'm so excited to actually play a remake. So it will be like the game I remember, just heaps better.
I hope so too, especially because I don't remember the game at all. So it'll probably be heaps better regardless for me. Matt, what about you?
Really cool things out of Japan from what I saw. Tokyo Ghostwire and Forspoken, both really great trailers, and I'm looking forward to both of them.
Yeah, Forspoken looked really cool in the latest trailer we saw. We, of course, did get a Ghostwire Tokyo trailer. We got another Deathloop trailer just before launch. They managed to come in on one more showcase. And a bunch of other stuff that we'll be covering all on IGN.com, YouTube.com/IGN. All of our, you know, Podcast Beyond, probably next week, is going to be devoted to everything else that we didn't get to catch up on this week. But Brian, Lucy, and Matt, thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. Sorry, I have to cut it short. But it was a blast to the show with all of you and get to talk about it right now. So thank you all for joining.
Hell yeah.
And thank you to everyone out there who watched along with us, watched this live show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as always, Beyond.
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 Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.